Chase, get out of here. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Willie Donick is a baseball dad today, so just me and D-Mace hanging out with y'all. D-Mace.
What's going on?
How we doing?
It's a beautiful day out here.
It's a beautiful day, and it is great to be alive.
Absolutely. I told co-worker Nick that, hey, once I put my 2 feet on the ground, it's a good day.
Co-worker Nick.
You sound like Mr. Rogers this morning. You got to chill.
What did I tell you? I said, listen, you have there's when you wake up, you got two C's. Two C's.
Wait. Am I not going to get to share my lesson, or are you just going to go through it?
Okay, you can share your lesson. Okay,
go ahead, Derek. Coworker.
Yeah, coworker Nick.
Really? Come on.
That's your name. They named you. So there you go.
I don't even know who that was. Was that last Friday when that happened or something like that?
Nicknames are not given. They are simply thrust upon you.
Exactly.
That is exactly what happened with you, staff member Nick.
There you go.
That should
staff
not
member,
be the
coworker,
case.
Staff member. I like staff member. There we go. That's what
staff
he said.
Member.
Yeah, staff member Nick. Yeah, so.
Well, what's your lesson, Nick?
What's your lesson, Nick?
Well, Derek walked in this morning, and I was telling him that he sounded a lot like a dad, and he said that, he's like, Nick, when you start off your day, you have choices, and it's not consequences, uh-huh. But I think that should be one that you should add.
Yeah, it should be.
But you
I
did.
I said you got a chance, and you got choices.
Yes.
You got choices and a chance.
Yes,
like correct.
Yes.
I think consequences should be in there, too.
Yeah, so you can say three C's, but I like choices and chance, because you have a choice and a chance to make yesterday, to make today better than yesterday.
I prefer my two C's on a handbag, if we're going to be honest.
There you go. It's one Chanel and...
It's Chanel.
Okay, Chanel. Yeah, there Chanel. We go. You see, I don't know all that stuff, handbags, and... Well, I do, but I don't. But I didn't know Chanel had... Yeah, I guess they do.
Two C's, two G's.
Yeah, that tells you how many times I've... Lately have bought handbags. So.
I'll stick to Michael Kors.
Also, styling. But
there
let's get into it, because we know that off season is list season.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's power rankings or who had the best draft class. We love a good list around this time of year. But nothing is more of an off season list than the off season list.
Mm.
Because Bill Barnwell put on ESPN.com the best and worst 2023 NFL offseasons. Which teams improved the most and which teams didn't really improve at all. And coming in, dead last, number 32, with the worst offseason ranked by Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com, your Tennessee Titans. Bill Barnwell writes, what went right? General manager Rand Carthon cleared out veterans who weren't living up to expectations, which I would say was a good start. Bud Dupree, yes. Zach Cunningham, Robert Woods, Taylor Lewan. You know, you cut the pieces that were too expensive and too injured. You replace them with cheaper pieces like a Daniel Brunskiller and Azeez Al-Shaair. Great. What went wrong? I'm not sure whether the Titans are rebuilding. This is Bill Barnwell on ESPN.com. I'm not sure whether the Titans are rebuilding. The two moves hanging over the organization's head all offseason still haven't been resolved, as Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are still on the roster. Both are entering the final year of their respective deals and have declined over the past two seasons. Tannehill is 34. Henry is 29. Are they really going to be pushing this team forward next season, let alone in 2024 and beyond?
Okay, see, again, this is the difference between... You know, guys that watch the team every day, the local guys here, whether it's Rex, whether it's Paul, whether it's Hutt,
TD,
you know, all of us that watches this team each and every day. This statement that he just made when talking about Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. He said both are entering the final year of their respective deals, which he is right, and have declined over the past two seasons. Barnwell, what in the hell are you watching? Derrick Henry has not declined. I understand Derrick Henry went for 2,000 yards and then 16, whatever. But 1,500 yards is not declining. 1,500 yards shows me that this, with an offensive line that wasn't good, shows me this guy, you put him behind a Eagles offensive line, he's rushing for 2,200 yards. He is. Mm-hmm. There's no decline, at least last year. There was no decline in Derrick Henry. He got better as a pass catcher. Where is the decline when it comes to Derrick Henry? Ryan Tannehill. There was no decline in Ryan Tannehill. The team wasn't good. The people around him, the receivers, they didn't step up last year. A lot of it, you know, some of it had to do with Treylon Burks just in and out because of injury and him being a rookie. Robert Woods, the miscalculation on Robert Woods, they should have waited to this year to sign a Robert Woods rather than last year because now he's 2 years removed from an ACL. They had an offensive line that wasn't good, pass blocking. But when you look at Ryan Tannehill, had he played a full season, he would have been the quarterback that we always thought he was. The numbers would have bared it out. But when you look at something like this, if you're not paying attention to this team, you would say, man, yeah, they are doing bad. Goodness, Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry has declined. They haven't. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry still rushing 1,500 yards. He was a better pass catcher. I'm sure he was a better blocker as well. Ryan Tannehill did all he could while healthy to put his team in a position to win the division. When he got hurt, the team started to decline. So when I'm looking at this from Barnwell, great article.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Respect what he does, but that's the difference between watching this team every day, every single day, and seeing the things that, as opposed to someone that's more from a national standpoint, even though he does follow the team, I'm saying he doesn't, but he does, but he also probably writes about other things. When you're solely concentrating on the Tennessee Titans, you will see that in regards to these two players, it's a little bit skewed in a sense, because if you look at Ryan Tannehill's numbers, you would say, yeah, he declined, but he didn't play the whole season.
Right, like we having such a strong understanding of this team and knowledge of what's been going on over mm-hmm. the last few years, we can poke holes all over this. I was talking to Joe Rexroad and Adam Vingan this morning about this, and I said, well, and if, off the top of my head, I don't think the Lions had an extraordinary offseason.
No.
You know, a bunch of their players were suspended for betting. I don't think that they had the greatest draft in the world. I don't know the Lions. I don't know the players on the fringe of the roster that they moved on from or guys that they have signed in free agency. Mm-hmm. But just from a 360-foot view, I don't think they had a great offseason either. So it's easy to poke holes in an argument when you don't know or when you're not looking at the teeny tiny little details. Mm-hmm. But I think you point out something very key. And it's Bill Barnwell basically saying, hey, you still got Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry? Great. Then that to me tells me enough. And that, per Bill Barnwell, and that tells me, nobody thinks Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry are going to be good. Nobody respects Ryan Tannehill. People just assume that Derrick Henry is just a shell of himself mm-hmm. because of the age, because of the history of the running back position. Has Derrick Henry, maybe, does he not have the same pop that he used to have? Does Derrick Henry get taken down probably sooner than he did in the past? Does he get taken down in the first tackle rather than the second, third, or fourth, or fifth like he used to be mm-hmm. a few years ago? Yeah, I would say so. I would say that Derrick Henry at 29 is not the same running back that he was at 25. But he's still pretty damn good. So I think it's an unfair evaluation of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. And I always go back to you look at the result and you don't look at the path that got you there. Mm-hmm. And you could look at, the Titans went on a 7-game losing streak. They missed the playoffs. They had a losing season. It's got to be because of the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that Ryan Tannehill didn't play in 5 games.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's necessarily fair. And also to poke a hole in this article as a whole, and I absolutely respect Bill Barnwell. He does great work for ESPN.com. But how can we evaluate an offseason when the offseason is still happening?
Yeah.
Like, we are in the offseason right mm-hmm. now. Like, there are still a lot of moves that can be made. There are June 1st cuts that have yet to be made. There are acquisitions that have yet to be made across the league, not mm-hmm. just for the Tennessee Titans. So that's another thing. And part of this evaluation is the draft. And you could look at it from a point of view of, well, the Titans need receivers and they didn't draft a receiver until the 7th round. Totally fair mm-hmm. and completely justified. But before we judge an offseason, shouldn't we give it some time to evaluate what this draft is?
Nope.
According, we don't have time for that.
According to, you know, and Burnwell is not the only guy that probably, you know, that does this. I mean, I think we all, especially after the draft, we all sort of assess the draft and was it a good draft for this team? Was it not a good draft? Was it a good draft for the Titans? Was it not a good draft? You know, I think a lot of people believe that it wasn't a good draft for the Titans solely because they didn't draft a receiver. Had they drafted a receiver, say, in the third round, one that we felt good about, I think we would have looked at this draft a little bit different.
Yeah.
Had we drafted a receiver instead of a running back without an ACL,
you'd look at it differently.
Exactly. You would look at it totally different.
Which in 3 years from now, Tajay Spears might be a 1,500-yard back,
exactly.
Whereas
Absolutely.
That receiver may have been a bust. I don't know.
Absolutely.
You know, we would look at it very differently.
But we look at it differently. So, you know, I'm just specifically talking or zeroing in on the whole Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry have declined. I don't think they have declined. I do believe that Derrick Henry is still the best runner in the National Football League. I never considered him the best running back because to me, when you're talking today's football, the running back, if you want to be the best running back, you need to do what Christian McCaffrey does. You need to do what Saquon Barkley does. You need to do what some of these backs, you know, Breece Hall. Yeah, Breece Hall from the Jets. Or, you know, say the kid in Jacksonville. Travis Etienne. He can catch the ball out the backfield. He can run between the tackles, do all this other stuff. Well, Derrick Henry hasn't shown that he's the best running back because running back encompasses all of those things. But he definitely, I will put this up against any running back, he's the best runner in the National Football League. Still, last year I said, I guarantee you Derrick Henry will have over 1,500 yards. He had over 1,500 yards. Mm-hmm. This season, this offensive line, I believe it's better. Derrick Henry will have another 1,500 yards this year. This kid, there's something different about Derrick Henry that it's hard for people to really realize, or they don't want to realize it. It's like if you just watch what he's, and everybody's waiting for the shooter drop with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Why you can't just let this man play? He's different from any other back. Just like Earl Campbell was different from any other back. Just like Adrian Peterson was different. Barry Sanders was different. These guys are different for a reason. Derrick Henry is a different back than any other back that has come through the NFL within the last 10 years, minus Adrian Peterson. He's a different back than any other back the Titans have had since Eddie George. He's just a different dude. So to me, he's always, until he shows me different, he's the best runner in the National Football League.
And there's going to come a day where Derrick Henry is not Derrick Henry.
Exactly.
There's going to come a day where he cannot be that go-to guy that gets the number of snaps that he gets every, or the number of touches that he gets every single game that he's getting. But until that day comes, to your point, Derrick, I'm not going to worry about it.
Exactly.
Until that day comes. And I'm not saying that the Titans had a fabulous, wonderful, outstanding offseason. I think that they made some moves that were necessary to make. They brought in some guys that were probably underwhelming, didn't have the same kind of celebrity value that maybe some other acquisitions that were out there to make. Maybe they didn't have the most stunning draft. I'm not here to say that the Titans had the best offseason in the NFL. But this shows me and just confirms what we've already believed from what we've heard and read and articles written is that nobody believes in this team. And it's because nobody believes in Ryan Tannehill. But I do think that Bill Barnwell makes a couple of fair points. And we'll get into those coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Willie D-Mays, 1025, 1063 The Game.
I understand, like, where Bill is coming from when he put his list together. I think it's because, you know, when the Titans offseason turns into a conversation about the viability of Ryan Tannehill, the viability of Derrick Henry, you know, those are two foundational building blocks, and you're like, all right, well, if they're willing to move on from these players, it feels like that's a rebuild, right? I mean, it's, who knows if it's a full-blown multi-year rebuild? Who knows if it's a micro rebuild? That all depends on either who you have waiting in the wings or who you have available to take. And then when neither of those players moves on, of course, it leads you to believe, well, okay, if these were players who are available, how much confidence is there in them? And where does that leave Tennessee? Are they in limbo? So I think a lot of people look at Tennessee and think, okay, it's trending downward because they're trying to shift gears here, and they were not able to do it with two pretty weighty players when it comes to what their deals are. I mean, obviously, we're looking at the last year, I think, for both of these guys here in Tennessee, but...
That was Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. And I hear what he's saying there of the message nationally from the reports that the Titans were shopping Derrick Henry, that they were calling around about Ryan Tannehill. The message is they're done with them. They're moving on from them. They're no dang good. And now that they're holding on to them, it might seem like, okay, well, it's just a throwaway season. I don't see it that way. I see it as you've got a new general manager coming in, doing his due diligence about a 29-year-old running back to see if they could, in fact, move on from their quarterback. But they didn't. They were just doing their due diligence. They were doing, you know, just dipping their toes in the water about what different paths there were to go down for this season. No trading partners, or at least no trade partner worth dealing those two players. So they're running it back with them. That's simply how I see it.
Yeah, and that's how I see it, too. I don't think because they are choosing at this point, which I do believe is going to ultimately be status quo in regards to this season, whether, you know, they're back and I think they're going to be here, unless, you know, Will Levis shows that he's ready and, you know, Vrabel along with Rand Carthon feels okay. Let's just put it in the hands of the young guy right now while he still has Derrick Henry behind him and a really good defense in front of him. So let's move on from Ryan Tannehill. Let's find a trade partner, somebody out there willing to make this trade before the season starts, because I think once the season starts, it's going to be very hard to trade a starting quarterback. Typically, when quarterbacks are traded with starting caliber in the season, they're usually backup. They've lost the job somehow, some way, to the younger guy or someone else, and then they eventually, you know, are able to move him during the season because somebody gets hurt.
Right.
But if Ryan Tannehill's the starter, he's not getting – I mean, if they don't trade him before the season, I don't think they're going to be able to trade him during the season.
And I also look at it, too, like, to that point, let's say the Green Bay and New York Jets trade never went through. Never happened. Yeah, it was disputes about the compensation. Couldn't quite figure it out. Aaron Rodgers stayed in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. Would anybody be discounting Green Bay because Green Bay wanted to move on from Aaron Rodgers but didn't?
No.
So why is that different with Ryan Tannehill? It's just because it's Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, it's because it's Ryan Tannehill. I think, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to get an enormous amount of grace when it comes to situations like that.
Because he's a superstar.
He's an MVP winner, two-time MVP winner. MVP back-to-back. But I think he's won, three times, somewhere around there. He's a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. He's arguably one of the greatest quarterback of all time when you're talking about talent, not championships. When you're talking about talent and what he's able to do with the football, he's probably the best of the quarterbacks that have played over 10 years, let's say, because Patrick Mahomes will be there, but he hasn't played as many games in as many years as Aaron Rodgers has. So we might be having a different debate, say, in 10 years.
Right.
Who's the best ever as far as arm talent? But, you know, because Ryan Tannehill hasn't I think that Cincinnati game, it's sad, but that Cincinnati game hurt his legacy.
It is a stain on his resume.
Yeah, it 100%. Hurt it bad. It was almost like, I don't want to say catastrophic to his legacy, but damn near, you know, because nobody remembers what he did after that really? Or if they do, it's like, oh, he wasn't, you know, this and that and that. But they don't remember what he did before that, how he had to come in and learn the offense and beat out the starter, which the Titans were almost ready to go their separate ways I'm forgetting the kid's name now. The quarterback.
Logan Woodside?
No. The first round.
Oh, Mariota.
Marcus Mariota. Yeah. Mariota. They were ready to sort of move on from Marcus Mariota anyway, the new coaching staff.
And Ryan Tannehill made that decision even easier.
Exactly.
For them.
He came in, he took hold of this team and became the leader. And this team got better with him underneath center. But nobody remembers that. Nobody remembers how efficient he was as a quarterback. Nobody remember that. Only thing they remember is what he did in Cincinnati, against Cincinnati in the playoff game. 3 turnovers. That's all people remember. And that's unfortunate because he has been a good player, more than good player for this organization. But only thing people remember is he threw 3 interceptions.
And it was a bad game.
It was a bad game.
I mean, had Ryan Tannehill just held on to the football, mm-hmm. had a game similar to what we saw this past season, uh-huh. where he just takes care of the football, 200, 250 yards, you know, not a crazy, sexy game, but you just play very conservative football, I think the Titans would have gone to the Super Bowl that year. And that is so painful to think about what could have been. It was not a good day for Ryan Tannehill. And I'm not saying that Ryan mm-hmm. Tannehill should command the same amount of respect as some of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, because that's not what he is. But I think to say that the Titans had one of the worst offseason in the NFL, and citing one of the reasons for that being the fact that they held on to Ryan Tannehill, I just don't think is very fair, nor is it indicative to what he can do or has done for this football team away from that Cincinnati game. But let's get some of your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenston has a question for D-Mace. What's up, Kenston?
What's going on, guys? What's up, D-Mace?
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, D-Mace? A little bit off topic there, but more so about the Titans offense, right? And how a lot of people are talking about, you know, what they've done at receiver and kind of not looking at how, in my opinion, they've added a lot of explosive pieces to the offense as a whole. And wondering what you think about, you know, last year, you know, we saw Treylon Burks in flashes, but he was hurt. Austin Hooper was the tight end, not an explosive player, but now Chig showed he was one of the most explosive, not just rookie tight ends, but tight ends in the league. You added one of the most explosive running backs in the draft. You still have the most explosive running back in the league in Derrick Henry. And then Kyle Phillips showed an electricity to special teams that we hadn't seen since you were back there. So if you could just talk about how those guys returning and new guys coming maybe could surprise fans in the fall, this offense could maybe be more explosive than we thought it could be. Thanks, guys.
Thanks
a lot, Kenston. Appreciate it. Well, I mean, long answer short, this is what happens sort of in the NFL or sports in general. You look at moves teams make, and you look at their roster and you say, well, and we're guilty of it, you know, looking at their receiving core and say, man, that's not gonna cut it in this league. You're gonna have a hard time scoring with this core of receivers. Or you look at the running backs and you say, well, why did you draft a guy in the 3rd round that has issues with his knee? And then you look at the tight end position. It's like, man, you only got really one tight end that's shown he can truly play in this league, and that's Chika Conquo. Well, you draft another one that has some explosiveness in him, big guy, but you just don't know how he will adapt his first year in the NFL. So we all look at this. The good part about it is the game is not played right now. That's the good part about it. Right. All of these questions that we have will be answered, you know, 2 months from now, 2 or 3 months from now. It will be answered. We will start to see whether this receiving core is going to be the worst in the league, like many have said and have ranked, or are they going to be in the middle of the pack? Because if they're in the middle of the pack, then the Titans are good. They don't have to be the best. But they can't damn sure be the worst. If they're middle of the pack, this receiving core, that's good for them. Mm-hmm. Treylon Burks, he's going to come back. And I want to damn near guarantee you, just like I said about Derrick Henry last year, that I guaranteed he would be a 1,500-yard rusher, and he was. I damn near almost guarantee you that Treylon Burks, if he stays healthy, he will be a 1,000-yard receiver. He will have 9 touchdowns. He will average about 13 yards per catch. That's who that guy is. He's not the guy that we saw last year because he was hurt
right. A
lot of times. That's not the guy. The guy that I saw coming out of college and the glimpses that I saw on the field only showed me, it didn't take this season or this, you know, OTAs to figure it out. It told me that when this guy's healthy, he's a playmaker. I've seen it. I've seen enough in him that lets me know he's the number one receiver. He needs to stay on the field. That's all he needs to do.
Well, let's continue that coming up next. Mm-hmm. Because one point that I think that Bill Barnwell makes about the Titans offseason, one reason why he says he thinks the Titans had the worst offseason in the NFL, is because of the wide receiver position. How much can Treylon Burks alone change that perception? And your phone calls as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville. At page 1025 The Game for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura, benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at Hermitage Golf Course. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebs to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have the chance to win awesome prizes, so sign up to play, sponsor, or donate at thegamenashville.com/golf. I want to get D-Mace's breakdown of the wide receiver position, because in Bill Barnwell's most recent article on ESPN.com, he says that he thinks that the Titans have had the worst offseason in the NFL. One of those reasons being the wide receiver position, the fact that they didn't address the wide receiver position in the draft until the 7th round. But first, I want to get your thoughts on that. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ricky is on the line. What's up, Ricky?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First-time caller here.
Happy to have you.
Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks. You know, the thing about Tannehill and Henry and even Byard, they weren't shot because of their decline in talent. They were shot because of money. And the other thing is one of the things that people are not considering in the offseason for the Titans, of course, Barnwell wouldn't do that, is that we got rid of Downing and Keith Carter, which were our two biggest weaknesses, offensive line and offensive play calling. So when you got rid of those two guys, you also upgraded your offense. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Ricky. Mm-hmm. It's a fair point. Could you have upgraded a quarterback? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what the Titans have tried to do in the last two off seasons. I think it's very telling that they've drafted two quarterbacks in 2 years that they would like to move on from Ryan Tannehill. I think part of that is money, to his point. Part of that, I do think, is production. Mm-hmm. They look at the rest of the AFC and they're like, look, we love you, Ryan, but we need to be up there with the Allens and the Mahomes and the Burrows of the AFC and not with the rest of the jabronis in the AFC. And that's another aspect of this offense, is I think that we all assume that Tim Kelly is going to be an upgrade over Todd Downing, because I don't know how much worse it could get.
Yeah. But it can get worse.
It can get worse.
I hope it doesn't.
Knock on wood. All fair points.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, obviously you expect the offense to run a little bit different. Now that Tim Kelly is offensive coordinator, it seems like they're changing a lot of what they are doing. I think I heard Ryan Tannehill say this is a new offense, so everybody's sort of learning a new offense. So things are going to be different. The verbiage sort of may be the same, but how they get to the plays might be a little bit different. There might be more motion. There might be more, you know, different personnel or whatnot. Or if they do change personnel, then, you know, a Treylon Burks might be more a part of all of the personnels than he was last year. And I think that's what I got a little frustrated with this Titans team under Downing, is that, and I'm not sitting here saying Downing had all control over who's going to play and what personnel and this and that and that and this. But to me, your number one guy, who for them has been Treylon Burks, they wanted him to be that guy last year. He was at times, but often because of injury, he wasn't. But if you have your number one guy, to me, that number one guy needs to be playing 100% of the pass plays. Let's just say that. 100% of the pass plays, I don't know, 90-something percent, or 85% to 90% of the run plays. Yeah. You know, you might have jumbo personnel where he's not in, stuff like that, goal line.
Yeah.
I understand that. But he needs to be in the game majority of the time. Again, I come from a school of thought of, if you're the number one guy, you don't come out until you tap your helmet and let me know you're ready to come out. And then I will let you come out, take a breather, and then throw you back in the game.
But I'm not voluntarily,
I'm not voluntarily taking you out of the game. Like when A.J. Brown was here, if I was, he would never come out of the game. Why? Because he's that dude. Why am I taking that dude? That's like, you know, taking Michael Jordan out of the game in a critical time, or taking LeBron out in a critical. You know, they're that. They are him, as the kids say. They are him. A.J. Brown was him. So why was he out of the game so much? Treylon Burks, you want him to be that guy. So don't keep on, you know, pulling him in and out of the lineup. So I hope that's one thing that will change under Tim Kelly that wasn't evident under Downing.
And Paul Kaharsky on PaulKaharsky.com, I believe it was Mike Herndon that wrote it, broke down kind of some of the changes with the Tim Kelly offense, and part of the terminology is different.
Yeah.
Chigakonkwo talked at OTAs and said that the play calls, like, are a lot shorter. It's more one- and two-word play calls rather than the long, almost sentences of the West Coast system. The idea of that, I believe, is just to keep everything moving a little bit more up-tempo, up-tempo, up-tempo. That's something that I think we can see a little bit more in the Tim Kelly offense. Quicker, faster, more up-tempo. You know, you're not taking so long to get in the huddle, to get back in formation, and to snap the football. So I think that will be different.
What is the old adage? It's work smarter,
not harder. Yeah.
You can work hard, but you can work smarter. I think what Tim Kelly is trying to do is work smarter.
Yeah.
We don't need to have all that. Let's throw all that verbiage. Let's throw all that trash out. Let's be more concise with what we want to call, so we don't have to sit in a huddle and be wondering, a quarterback wondering, okay, I got to finish getting this play in because it's so long. Right. No, let's be concise in what we're doing. Let's shorten everything down so we can, boom, in and out of huddle very quickly. Everybody knows what they're doing. Now let's go. When you have this long verbiage, because I've been a part of both. I've been a part of the number system. I've been a part of the verbiage system, where the verbiage is long, where it's short. And I felt that, you know, a lot of times the shorter the verbiage was, the better, because now we can get in and out of huddle. If anyone has a problem, they can linger back and look at the quarterback. And typically, if a receiver linger back and look at the quarterback knows that, okay, something's wrong here. Let me tell him quickly so we have enough time for me to relay to him what I want him to do. But when you have this long verbiage, I can't do that.
How much quicker is it really? Like, you know, you go from, you know, Spider 2, Y Banana, Sonic the Hedgehog, XY 2, whatever, to, you know, Oreo cream.
Yeah.
Like, how much, is it really that much quicker?
It does, because now I'm only I'm not in the huddle for a long time. When I hear the play, I know exactly what I need to do. And if I don't, then I can look back at the quarterback without even saying, I don't know what to do, and quarterback will tell me. Once you get ready to lead a huddle and you look back at the quarterback with that look in your face, quarterback knows.
He knows, yeah. I got you.
don't worry, I got you. I'm going to tell you. Boom, boom. So now it's quick. Whereas if the verbiage is long, I'm sitting there as a receiver trying to process it. Like, damn, what am I doing? And then as I'm processing and walking out, the quarterback, we only got like 8 seconds left, right. So I got to have more time to have control of this offense.
That does make sense, the processing time.
Exactly.
Because it's not just about the amount of time that it takes up to say it.
Uh-huh.
It's about the time that it takes you to process and execute.
Exactly. Some plays, the minute you say one word, I know exactly what to do. Some plays, it takes a little bit longer. Some guys, it just takes them a little bit longer to learn the verbiage. So if you make it concise, quick, I can get it, and now let's go.
Let's get back into your phones on this. Dan is on the line. What's up, Dan?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call and enjoying the show. I have a comment about my perception on Tannehill and Henry. And if I were both of them and I was advising them, I would tell them to leave the Titans and go find someplace else to play if they're concerned about their legacy. They've had to play under some very poor offensive line play the last several years, which has really hurt both of their performances. you can't consistently get hit in the backfield and expect a great yardage for any game. And they can then choose which team to go with. Give me somebody with a mediocre offensive line, and their statistics would be a heck of a lot better. And if no one picks them up, they say, I'll wait a year. But someone's going to pick these guys up because they're fantastic. And I just blame the management and of the Titans on not being able to build an offensive line. It really starts with the offensive line if you're going to have an offense that does anything. And
yeah, thanks for your call, Dan. Appreciate it. To that point, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I am probably frustrated with the Tennessee Titans. It's like, look, I've had horrendous offensive lines. You didn't draft me a receiver. I'm trying to do my absolute best without working with a whole lot here. Mm-hmm. But let's be realistic. Ryan Tannehill hits the market. Mm-hmm. Where's he going?
Yeah, I mean,
Henry, he's a 29-year-old running back. Where's he going?
There will be there's a place for Ryan Tannehill. There's a place for Derrick Henry. Is it an ideal place? We don't know. So, but I don't. I think Derrick Henry, because I brought up the legacy thing, and I know why the caller then said it. Mm-hmm. I think Derrick Henry, from this standpoint, I think his legacy is almost etched in stone to a point where you can't remove it.
Yeah.
As far as who he is as a player, I think it gets etched permanently. Depends on what he does from here on out. As far as Hall of Fame, is he a Hall of Fame player? Right now, he's borderline. I mean, what he's done, if it was up to me, if he was retired today or something happened to him, as far as injury-wise, he couldn't play, he's in. Because my thing is, it's the same thing with Terrell Davis. I know Terrell went to 2 Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP, but if you look at the numbers, you know, his numbers bear it out that he's a Hall of Fame running back if you just look at what Derrick Henry has done. So if injury was to occur, I think you would have to put him in because of what he was able to accomplish in such a short period of time when he became a starter. But I think moving forward, if he remains healthy, then I think he will continue to write his story, his story in this game as far as, you know, how he ranks with the great backs of our time.
And I don't know how concerned you can be about your legacy if you're Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry right now.
Yeah,
let's go in. Let's do the best we can possibly do. Let's win football games. Mm-hmm. And whenever I retire and my legacy is what it is, then so be it. But my job is to come out here and win football games. And I'm going to do that with the Tennessee Titans. More of your phones coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We are right back into your phones as promised. Justin is on the line. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
I guess y'all basically touched on a lot of the things that I was going to say, but I'm excited about seeing these wide receivers in this new offense. I feel like some of these guys have played only in this a more complicated system under Todd Downing. I think Tim Kelly coming in going to give us a different, you know, perspective on seeing these guys and maybe bringing out more of their talent like he spoke about, on the OTAs the other day. So that's really what I had a thought on.
Yeah, thanks for your call, Justin. Appreciate it. I kind of live in the school of thought of Jimmy's and Joe's over X's and O's. Like, if you just have elite players, chances are you're going to be pretty darn successful, really, no matter what the play call is. But also, that's not a blanket statement. Because you can just call dumb play after dumb play after dumb play, and it doesn't matter if you have Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase out there, or if you have me and Nick Kieser throwing balls to one another. You know, it does make kind of a difference. With these guys, with this receiving core, I think step 1A is, can you stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Need you to stay healthy. And then we can get to how much talent is brought out by Tim Kelly. But I am excited to see Treylon Burks under a new offensive system.
Yeah, I am as well. I want to see if what I believe in my head about Treylon Burks and what I've seen, will it match up now that he's healthy? And, mm-hmm. and I hope and presume he will be healthy throughout the season. Now, he's going to have nicks and bruises, yeah, but nothing that is going to cause him to miss games.
You at least hope.
Exactly. So I want to believe that what I saw briefly is true mm-hmm. about him, that this kid is a damn good player, and his second year will be leaps and bounds better than his first year, because I believe he's going to stay healthy, but then he knows this league and what it takes to play at this league. Some of these defensive backs that he played against last year, he will play against this year. He knows them. He's studying now these defensive back, these defenses. He got a better grasp of how defenses from the from a secondary standpoint play, and what tips certain defenses or defensive backs off, so you can kind of get a leg up on them. So I'm believing all of that. I just hope that it shows up. And I believe it will, shows up on the field. So I'm not worried about Treylon Burks. I've never been worried about Treylon Burks. The other guys, I like Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
For what he is.
For what he is, I like him. And I heard Tim Kelly, I was listening to Jarrett yesterday driving home, and he played the clip of Tim Kelly, you know, sort of describing all the receivers, like, yeah, you remember in this game, nah, nah, nah. And what people got to understand is this, you know, you have to look at the player for who he is, just like you said. Mm-hmm. You got to look at the player for who he is. And is he accomplishing the things that you want him to accomplish? We're not asking you to be, you know, more than what you are, but are you being 100% who you are as a player on that field? Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is that guy. He gives them 100% of who he is on that field. He makes tough catches. Is he going to get open every single time? No. But he's where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, when the quarterback wants him to be there. He's that type of guy. I know exactly what I'm going to get out of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I am going to get 500 to 600 yards from him, 3 to 4 touchdowns. That's what I'm going to get from him if he stays healthy and if this passing game is better under Tim Kelly. This is what I will get from him. Guarantee you. 500 to 600 yards. I would say 3 to 5 touchdowns. That's what I'm going to get from him. Kyle Phillips, I know what he is. I know what he is today.
Yeah.
He's a guy that you throw in a slot, and he will be your chain mover, but he got to stay healthy.
Right.
But he will be your chain mover. It's not going to be pretty. He's not going to wow a lot of people. But each and every game, he's going to make that one critical catch that keeps the chains moving. And everybody's going to say, that's why they kept Kyle Phillips. That's why they have him in the lineup. This is who I believe Kyle Phillips and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is.
They're supplementary pieces exactly. around Treylon Burks.
I don't expect them to be 1,000-yard receivers.
If they are, great.
If they are, great. I don't expect Kyle Phillips to be the best slot guy in the National Football League, because, newsflash, Ja'Marr Chase plays in the slot, too.
Cooper Kupp plays primarily
in the slot, and he's probably the best slot receiver out there. So I know what I'm getting with those three. It's Racy McMath. It's Chris Moore, even though I know a little bit of what you're going to give him. I'm a veteran guy. He's going to give you, you know, basically almost what he gave you last year when he was with Houston, I believe. Mm-hmm. 500, 600 yards, somewhere around there.
I don't even know if 500 or 600 yards is fair for Chris Moore, but he is one of those guys that he's there.
If he's a start, if he becomes a starter, say the Titans can't make any major moves to get a big-time receiver. Mm-hmm. And he's capable of being a starter in this league, a number two guy in this league. This receiving core it's not the worst. It's not. Because I haven't looked at everybody else. I don't know everybody. I know maybe 4 or 5 teams receiving cores. They're typically the top teams. I can't say that the Titans are the worst.
It's pretty bad.
It's bad, but it's not. But we're only basing that upon numbers.
And we're basing that upon what we know now.
Exactly.
We know that Treylon Burks struggled to stay healthy this past year. We know that Kyle Phillips, it was the same thing. Mm-hmm. He was on and off the field. He couldn't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. We know that Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, at best, is a wide receiver three.
Yeah.
Chris Moore is kind of just a guy.
He's a 3-2, 3-2. You could play him at the two.
You can play him at two, but it'll give you three production.
Yeah, he will give you the three production. He will have his games here and there. But the script is different if Kyle Phillips would have had 400 yards last year. People would expect, oh, he was a late-round pick. 400 or 500 yards is good for him, so we expect him to be even better the next year. The problem is that we looked at Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Kyle Phillips, and we looked at their numbers, and we expected probably more of Nick Westbrook-Ikhine last year. And we look at Kyle Phillips and said, well, he couldn't stay healthy. And we based our determined how they are based on what we saw last year. And it's fair. But we also got to take into account these guys did make plays for this team. But they were hurt. They end up getting hurt. Just imagine if these guys stay healthy. They build that rapport with Ryan Tannehill. Now Ryan Tannehill feels comfortable with throwing the ball to him. Because we haven't sat here and said, only one guy that we've talked about dropping footballs, and he's no longer here. One guy. Everybody else, this wasn't a problem with everybody else.
But it's the unknown.
It's the unknown.
It's the unproven.
Mm-hmm.
And it's prove it to me that you can stay healthy.
Exactly.
Prove it to me that in year two, Kyle Phillips and Treylon Burks, that you can take this step forward. Prove to me, mm-hmm. Treylon Burks, that you can be a number one. Because you're going to be the number one no matter what. You have to be the number one. But can you fill in that role?
Well, I think prove he's embraced it. I think he's going to embrace it.
I think he has.
I think this kid is going to be – I think he's going to be special. Barring injury, I think he's going to be special.
I'm encouraged by what I've seen from Treylon Burks this offseason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones on this. But coming up next, I think we've all kind of changed how we look at Mike Vrabel now that we know that he has more say in personnel. He has more say in the GMing side of things. But has the locker room looked at him differently? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063 The Game.